This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On the show this week, Lou Leslie, who is chair of the Strategic Planning Committee here at the USEA, tells us about a new division, DX Eventing, that's been proposed. And later on in the program, we'll be hearing from Debbie Adams again in our series of Finding and Starting the Young Event Horse. Lou Leslie joins us now from the West Coast. Lou, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. Good to hear from you, Chris.
Well, as chair of the USEA's Strategic Planning Committee, you're also on the Board of Governors as well and part of the Executive Committee. You play many different roles in the USEA, but one thing that has come out of the Strategic Planning Committee is this notion of a new, completely new division, DX Eventing, it's being called at the moment, will be discussed at the convention next week. So give us a little overview, if you would, Lou, of what the thinking is behind this and who it is aimed for.
Well, DX Eventing is a new title to something that has been out in the eventing community for a long time. And it is actually a cross of doing a dressage test and doing a combination or a hybrid of a stadium course, cross-country course. It's been extremely popular out here on the West Coast with Wendy Wergel's event derbies. They've been around for 20 years. And then I know up in Chicago area, Katie Lindsay has a derby that she does during the wintertime and springtime to kick off the dust up there. And I'm sure that the East Coast, there's many places that are doing this derby-style eventing. And this is just a USEA is recognizing this, that it's a need for the membership, that they like this hybrid concept. So it's what we're doing is we're adding a national leaderboard to it, and we're going to track it for our members. And it's a good place. It has the flexibility that it can go in many different venues. You could do something in the middle of winter in Wisconsin, do a dressage test, and then do just a stadium course in an indoor arena. Or you can do what they do in California, where you do a dressage test, and then you jump a few stadium fences, and then you do a little bit of cross-country. So that's where the concept came out of. It is USEA recognizing that an existing format that has been out there for quite a while.
Let's explain to those that are familiar with the Derby format how this mm-hmm. differs and which area of the membership you're targeting specifically, Lou, with this idea.
The membership that we're really targeting, there's for years we've always tried to develop our membership, and we've always hovered around 10 to 12,000 members, and it's been pretty consistent. But we also recognize that out there, there's a huge population of eventers that are not members of USEA, but they enjoy the schooling shows. They enjoy the whole concept and that essence of eventing getting out there. And so what the strategic planning did, instead of creating new types of membership, we decided, well, why don't we create a new venue that these that the membership could potentially enjoy, and also to attract new membership. So this derby can, since it's so flexible where it can be, you can actually have it at a hunter jumper show somewhere. We can have that venue set up a dressage court, and then it would give an opportunity for that population of hunter jumper people to give eventing a try. And it's, you know, assistance, if you don't know that much about eventing, you know, here's an opportunity that outside assistance is encouraged. So if you have a new person who thinks they might like to do eventing, you can sit there and somebody can read you the dressage test. And then when you're doing a hunter jumper course and you're and maybe they have incorporated a coffin in it or a grog, you can have somebody on the sideline saying, you know, sit up, balance your horse before you go into this, and give people an aid. And it's just a really wonderful idea to introduce eventing to a whole different population and membership.
So this is a kind of a crossover then, Lou, transitioning people from maybe their sport and also young people coming into the sport. This is giving them an idea, a sense of jumping solid fences as well as show jumping fences. So explain, if you would, a little bit more about the details of the dressage and the jumping phase and the kind of level they would expect and the height of these fences.
Well, that's the wonderful thing about DX eventing, is that it will parallel what is already existing. So you can have a beginner novice course, you can have a starter intro course, and then you can also have an advanced course. And it's not limited by a certain division. It's going to parallel what's already out there. It's an intro into the existing eventing levels that are already there. So if you go to a DX at eventing, you will have different divisions. So it's not necessarily a division. This is a new style. This is a two-phase competition. And within that two-phase competition, you have the different levels. Or the potential for the different levels, from starter all the way up to advanced. Does that help?
Yep, that makes sense. And, of course, there's the question of membership. If you're not a current member, do you have to become a member to give this a try? How is that going to be structured?
No, that's the part that's being developed right now, and what is going to be presented in the winter USEA annual convention, is that right now the way it's looking is that no, you do not have to be a member of USEA in order to give this a try, but you will be asked to pay the USEA non-membership to participate in the sport, and I believe that is at $25.
Okay.
But in order for that to count towards the year-end leaderboard, you do need to be a member of USEA. But if you want to give this a crack and just go out there and have some fun, in order for it to be processed within USEA and tracked, there's that $25 non-membership fee.
So a leaderboard will be created for this, and mm-hmm. anyone who wants to be really competitive can already get on that ladder, so to speak. Now, what about venues now? What are you looking at? Are you looking at expanding the venues, or just, as you said earlier, Lou, using the existing facilities? I'm just curious if you could tell us whether this is an opportunity for new organizers to get into the sport that have less land and less facilities than maybe are required for a full-blown event.
You said it perfectly. This format is allowing the flexibility not only for the riders to give eventing a try, but also for organizers. So if you have somebody that has, a 10-acre lot of land and they would like to try out this competition, it's perfect. You can put a nice hybrid course on there that has a couple of stadium fences and a couple of solid fences, and you have room for your dressage court. And it's structured the same as a normal horse trial or a regular horse trial, but you only have two phases, and so it's a good introduction not only for organizers and riders to give eventing a try, but also within our eventing population, officials. So let's say you have a professional that is thinking about, maybe I'd like to get into officiating. This would be a great place for them to give out being a dressage judge for a while or designing a course. So this is really a great place, and the format provides the flexibility that you can give it a go.
This is a stepping stone. And then for organizers who want to give it a go, what's the message to them?
Give it a go.
What do they need to do? In terms of insurance and registration fees?
Right. It's the same process as you do for a combined test and a horse trial, is that you contact Sharon Gallagher at USEA, and she'll give you the registration forms, and you register. and it'll give you, you know, who on the list. I believe it asks you who is, you know, your officials for this, and put it down and give it a go.
And this will be discussed at convention, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. What is the name of those meetings, and will you be chairing them as part of the strategic planning, or are these separate forums, Lou?
Well, this is the nice thing about, this is the first year that Diane Pitts has installed the strategic planning for USEA, and the whole point of the strategic planning group was to take a big concept idea and think of a way to implement it into USEA. So this is the first big idea that has come out of strategic planning and is now working through the implementation stage. And so at the meeting, at the strategic planning, we'll be going on to the next big idea. But it is going to go through the Board of Governors right now as a presentation, and the summit meeting that's being held, it'll be discussed there and get input of what you want to see there. So that's going to be part of this summit meeting. That's going to be at USEA convention.
All right, wonderful. Well, thank you very much indeed, Lou, for coming on the program and sharing that with us. And people can find out more information, of course, on the website, and also when they get to convention to participate in the discussion. Thank you so much, Lou.
Thank you. Great talking to you, Chris.
And now from Area 2, owner, rider, trainer and judge Debbie Adams joins us again for our continuing series on finding and starting the young event horse. Debbie, welcome back.
Why, thank you. It's good to be back.
The one thing I think that we had remembered last week that we wanted to touch on was contracts, wasn't it, Deb? Because they are an important part of this whole transaction.
Absolutely. I get contract, and if the horse is purebred, I get papers. So the contract, there is a copy that I retain and a copy that the seller has, and it lists the horse's identity, what the transaction is, when he becomes my responsibility. And many times it has what you paid, but not always. It may say on October 17th, this horse is now Debbie's, and that's it. And it lists the numbers and the recording for USEF if they're registered. If not, it's just an ID paper. I also get health records on the horses so that I know what shots they've had, what shots they're going to need, when they were wormed, when their teeth were done, so that I have everything to get started with my young horse. I do the feed as well. I find out what they've fed the horse, grass, hay, alfalfa, what kind of grain, pellets, sweet, percentage of protein, percentage of fat. I want to know what he's used to. It may not be what I feed them. My general impression is I like to keep them on a grass Timothy type hay and a very simple feed, but I will start them on what they know. I like a simple feed because I want the young horse to have a clear, calm brain. If there's one point I could say today is that you've got to make it easy for the young horse to move to a new place and start his education. Because I buy a four-year-old usually, they're ready to start training and be in work. So I want them to be settled in their mind. So I use turnout, I use lunging so that they're not too fresh. I always find a very quiet place to work. I do not have an indoor. So I have to be outside where I have a fenced-in area to work them. If I'm lucky, I have another horse around so they're not alone. Most of the time I am riding or working alone at that time of day, so I'll just have a horse turned out in the paddock next to him. So then I'll take him and I'll tack him up. I like a simple double-jointed snaffle. I choose double-jointed because it lays over the tongue even. It takes the same shape as the tongue. A single-jointed snaffle, if for some reason I have to be a bit sharp with the rein, because I'm losing control when he's getting excited, it can have a bit of a nutcracker action if you have to get a little bit tough to get your point across. And I do not want to do that. I don't want to have the nutcracker down on the tongue, or I don't want the point coming up towards the roof of his mouth. So I usually just use the double jointing with the little being in the center kind of looks like the rest of the bid, or French Link if he needs a little more connection. I use jump saddles to start the babies because your center of gravity is a little more forward than it is in a dressage saddle. And they usually have pretty undeveloped backs at this stage. I use boots on all four legs. I do not use wraps, just in case a wrap would ever get loose. That I don't need to explain what that problem would be, but I do put boots on them every day. I only lunge them enough to get them focused and settled. I'm not really trying to take the energy out of them. It's just to let them know that school has started. So it's just getting them to pay attention that we're now going to work. So I lunge them in tack. I found horses that might be a little cold back. It works much better to lunge them with the saddle on. So maybe I'll lunge them for about 10 minutes at the most, going back and forth between the two directions. When I decide it's time to get on, I always use a mounting block and always have someone hold the horse. No matter how quiet they are, I get someone to hold them while I get on. I work with my stirrups a little bit shorter than I normally would, just so that you're kind of agile and quick and light on their backs if they make a quick move, so that I am comfortable to go with them. One point back to the bridle, I always ride with reins with a little bit of a grip. Just rubber reins is what I normally use. Because I find that the more stable you are up there in how you're going to handle yourself, the better for the youngster. And then it becomes a very easy process. They're clear in their heads. They're not worried. They're comfortable in the bridle. They've got a friend around. You get on without any incident. So they're very clear, very calm. They're tuning into you at that point. The lunging makes them tune into you so that when you get on, they're already looking more to you than the outside world. So then I'll ride them normally probably about 20 minutes to start, maybe 30 if they've been in a lot of work where they were previously, but I don't ride them for a long time because I always want them to go back into the stall, interested, alert, paying attention. I don't want them tired. I don't want them sick of the workout. I want them tuned in so that the next day when I go in and tack them up, they're not resenting it, but they're willing to come out. They're curious, they're interested. They walk to the front of the stall so that you start the whole process, because hopefully you're going to have this horse for a year or two, maybe forever. So you want to have a good working relationship. I don't want it to be that horse that goes to the back of the stall and you have to catch it. I want a horse that comes to me in the paddock. I want them interested in the workout, because then when we start the training or start the cross country, they're still alert and interested. There is no nappiness or tension about the job. So that is how I start my youngsters the first day.
Excellent, Debbie. It's all about patience and ensuring confidence, as you say. You want them to come out the next day wanting more.
Yeah, and having a plan so they know and you know what's going to happen. It's clear for them.
Absolutely. Well, great messages there, Debbie. Thank you very much indeed for coming back on and continuing this series in educating, finding and educating that young event horse. Where are we going to take this next time?
I'm pretty interested in starting him over fences next time.
All right, let's do
it. I would like
it.
To jump my baby. Okay.
All right, we will do it. Thank you very much indeed, Deb.
Thank you.
And with a few days to go before the start of this year's annual meeting and convention, be sure to check the website at useventing.com, where you can also find out the latest leaderboard and competition schedules, of course. The omnibus is all there online, and you can also keep up with the updates from us on social media, on Facebook and Twitter. Until the next time, a very happy Thanksgiving to all of you from all of us here at the USCA. Thank you for listening and enjoy your eventing.